The first reading, where Samuel finds David, tells us that God does not see according to human appearances, but sees the heart. And both the second reading and the gospel proclaim Jesus the light of the world and begin to explore what that means. Today, in just a few minutes, we will celebrate the second scrutiny, with our elect, the second of three scrutinies. And in these middle 3 weeks of Lent, where we're celebrating the scrutinies, we read these long and beautiful and, quite frankly, sometimes confusing gospel stories that talk about how we come to faith in Jesus. Last Sunday, we read the story of the woman at the well who learns what it means that Jesus offers living water. This Sunday, we read the story of the man born blind who learns what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. And next Sunday, we'll read the story of Lazarus and learn what it means that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What these Gospels have in common and what makes them the appropriate texts to celebrate the scrutinies with our elect is that in each of these Gospels, people come to faith in Jesus not just by having something explained to them, not just by learning new facts about Jesus, but people come to faith in Jesus by an encounter with Jesus, by directly engaging Jesus and having him say, as he says to the woman at the well, as he says today to the man born blind, "I, the one speaking with you, am he." The woman at the well last week said, "I know the Messiah is coming." And Jesus says, "I, the one speaking with you, am he." The man born blind today is asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he says, "Who is he? I want to believe." And Jesus says, "I, the one speaking with you, am he." What we celebrate in the scrutinies when we pray with our elect who are preparing for baptism at Easter, we celebrate that encounter with Jesus that leads us to faith. The encounter that doesn't just teach us facts about who Jesus is, but actually brings us face to face with the Lord so that we can say, we can hear him say, and then we can say in response, "Yes, you are he, the Lord, the Messiah, the water of life, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life." But there are all kinds of challenges on the way to saying that. One of the things that the scrutiny gospels make clear is that the journey to faith is not a smooth one. The journey to faith has all kinds of confusions and stalls and arguments and misperceptions along the way. We saw this last Sunday in the Gospel of the Woman at the Well, as there are all these false starts, these partial explanations of who Jesus is. We see it this Sunday as people keep refusing to accept the plain facts in front of them that this man who had been blind since birth now sees. And so over and over again they ask, "How did this happen?" And the explanation is always the same. "He made clay, he told me to wash, I went, I washed, now I see." And over again we hear, no, "But how did it really happen? He made clay, I went, I washed, and now I see. Okay, but how did it really happen?" And the frustration from the man born blind is evident, because these people are unwilling to accept the explanation that he has, and they keep asking him, "Please make this fit into a story that we understand." And in fact, I would suggest that that's what's happening towards the end of the gospel with his argument about whose disciples are we. We're disciples of Moses. Because they're saying, this is a story we understand. This is a story we can accept. If you somehow tell us that this is connected to the faith that we already have, the faith that we're already comfortable with, we will accept that. We can fit that in somehow. And what distinguishes the man born blind, what makes him truly an icon of faith, what really says that he has been given new sight is not just the fact that his physical eyes are open now and that he can walk around seeing the world, but that he holds to the truth of what he knows. And he says, look, I don't have an explanation for this, and neither do you. But what I do know is this. I was blind and now I see. What I do know is this. God does not listen to people who do not do his will. But this man told me to go and wash and that I would see, and now I see. And that's what he holds on to. He had this encounter with Jesus, and he's not willing to cut it down to size. He's not willing to reshape it so that it fits into a story that someone else is ready to be comfortable with. Even though what it means ultimately, what it means in this gospel and what it meant for the community in which the Gospel of John was first received, was that they might be expelled from the synagogue, that they might be put out of their communities and pushed to the outskirts because of their faith in Jesus. But he says, this is my experience, and I must remain true to it. I would suggest to you that we also face temptations to take our faith, our experience of encounter with Jesus, however that happens for us, whether it happens in an encounter with the poor, whether it happens in a community of faith, whether it happens in deeper prayer, we also face the temptation to cut it down to a size and a story that people are comfortable with. Sometimes that temptation looks like giving an account of faith that fits into a secular world. Giving an account of faith that says, really, my faith is basically about me feeling some kind of tenuous connection with a higher power or with a community, and about being a good and moral person. And I do that, but other people might do it differently, and really, that's all fine. There's nothing more going on than that. This is just a private experience for me that doesn't mean anything else. I can have this experience, but I'm not going to force it on anyone else. I'm not going to expect that this experience means anything to other people. That's one temptation, to cut the story down to size. Or perhaps another temptation to cut the story down to size is to say, all that this story means is that I'm going to be a good Catholic or a good Christian and fit into the box that's already ready for me. I'm going to follow the rules that are set out, and that'll be my entire story. I'll go to church on Sunday. I won't eat meat on Fridays. I'll keep the fast. And as long as I fit into those rules and those stories, that's what my encounter with Jesus is going to mean. I would suggest to you that the gospel today tells us that these answers are not enough. That cutting our own encounter with Jesus down to size to fit into these parameters, whether the parameters are secular or whether the parameters are those of respectable, understandable Catholicism and Christianity, that's not enough. We are called instead to stay true to the unsettling, the unexplained part of our encounter with Jesus. Whatever has happened in our own lives that has really opened our eyes and let us see new light. That's where we're called to stay faithful. And what the gospel today promises us is that if we do stay faithful in those moments, even when our story doesn't fit the patterns that other people have ready for it, even when our story gets us pushed to the outside, Jesus will come and find us there. Jesus will come and find us there and invite us to belief and reveal himself as the Son of Man, as the light of the world. And that's when we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe. Not because we've known the facts, and not because we've gotten our explanations right, and not even because anyone else has approved our explanations. We're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, because we've had the encounter with Jesus ourselves. By staying faithful enough to our own experience, even when it's difficult, even when it's unexplained, to truly come to that encounter with Jesus. As we continue to pray together for our elect during the scrutiny, as we continue to pray together on our journey through Lent towards Easter, let's pray for the faith. Let's pray for the courage, the boldness, to stay true to that story of encounter with Jesus, to stay true to that story where Jesus opens our eyes and lets us see new light, and to wait in faith for the encounter with Jesus where he declares himself the Son of Man, the light of the world, and invites us to confess our belief in him.
Today, we celebrate the second scrutiny with our elect, that is, our catechumens, who will be baptized in just a few weeks during Easter. Scrutinies are rites of self-searching and repentance. Scrutinies are meant to uncover, then heal all that is weak, defective, or sinful in the hearts of the elect, and to bring out, then strengthen all that is good, upright, and strong. Their purpose is to examine the elect's spiritual readiness to offer for baptism and then to offer them the support they need as their baptism approaches. We who are already baptized, the scrutinies invite us to embrace the same spirit of self-searching and repentance. The scrutinies remind us of the seriousness of our Christian life and inspire us to turn from evil and pursue good. I now call forward our elect, Ava, Chase, Charlotte, Sophia, and Will.
Let us pray in silence, asking that these elect will be given the true freedom of the children of God. Let us pray for these children whom the Church has called, that they may come with joy to the waters of baptism.
That God may be the light that shines in the hearts of our elect, we pray. We search for light in darkness. Deliver us, O Lord. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. That God may gently lead them to Christ, the light of the world, we pray. We search for light in darkness. Deliver us, O Lord. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. That our elect may open their hearts and acknowledge God as the source of light and the witness of truth, we pray. We search for light in darkness. Deliver us, O Lord. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. That enlightened by the Holy Spirit, they may never fail to profess the good news of salvation and share it with others. We pray. We search for light